It's the Tiltcast, episode 106, White Wine.
Fuck yeah!
And in this episode, we're going to talk about a little bit of Black Swan. We're going to talk a little bit about Borderlands 2. We're going to talk a lot about XCOM. We're going to talk a whole lot about Dishonored and what we've been doing this week. Maybe even some more White Wine.
Fuck yeah!
So stay tuned, listen in, and enjoy. Maybe a little bit of White Wine.
Fuck yeah.
And welcome to the first episode of the Trentcast. To my left, I've got nobody. To my right, there's no one. And in front of me, there is nobody but the microphone. And I, of course, am Trent. Yes, the only person on the cast tonight. I have the whole thing to myself. And I thought that this could be a really great bonding experience for me and everybody who listens to us. Everybody who writes in, that includes you, Ian, even though you suck at Left 4 Dead. And I thought that we could talk about stuff and get to know each other, and I could entertain you and do all kinds of cool stuff and funny stuff, because I'm a pretty funny guy. Everybody says I'm a funny guy. My mom says I'm pretty funny, if that counts as everybody. So, this week, what have I been up to? Well, let me think here. I've been at work. Did a lot of that and made some logos and built some websites, yelled at customers and all that stuff, and let's see, helped some people move. Didn't really play a whole lot of much. I went and bought the new Borderlands DLC, but you know, work gets in the way, so I haven't been able to play that one yet. Let's see, I know Justin did pick up Dishonored finally, which I did play more of that over the weekend, so I guess I can talk about that. And we'll get to that eventually. What else did I do? Can't remember. Well, what did you guys do? Did you guys do anything? That's nice. So, I guess we'll go ahead and we'll jump right into talking about Dishonored. And, yeah, let's... Oh.
Hey, what the hell's going on here?
I'm doing the podcast.
You're doing the podcast?
Yeah.
Where is everybody?
Well, Holly is out seeing ZZ Top, and Rex is just not here. And I figured you were busy, so I thought I'd do it.
And yeah, that shit ain't gonna fly.
Well, no, I was gonna do, like, famous impersonations, you know, like...
Famous impersonations.
Yeah, like, hello! We all know that one.
So there's not anybody here tonight, is there?
No, it's just you and me, I guess.
I'm gonna grab my drink and I'll jump on in.
This is still the Trentcast. Can't give him a minute, he's grabbing something.
Well, I was gonna grab something, I don't know where it's at, so.
What, your dick?
No, I had a drink.
Oh, yeah. So I can keep doing something. This while you go look for it.
Hey, what were you talking about?
Dishonored.
Yeah, I heard something about that. I was actually just got done playing that.
Mm-hmm. Your mouth is muffled by your cigarette. So people just hear...
Yeah, I know. So yeah, after you talking about Dishonored so much last week, I decided to pick it up. I watched you play some of that gameplay, and...
It looks good.
I'm pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. Don't expect a whole lot, because it's, you know, it's a simple story. You can burn through it and, like... Depending on how you play, 8 hours, 12 hours, you know. So it's your typical game, you know, just what you expect. Just don't put a whole lot up there. I mean, it's not like, you know, Borderlands or anything. It's not like anything else we've been playing lately, like Borderlands.
You mean it's just not real long?
Well, no, it's an 8-hour game. Well, 8 to 12 hour. I mean, it's kind of like, it's going to suffer that Deus Ex factor, where people are going to rip into it.
Depending on how fast you play through it.
Yeah, where people are going to rip into it about, well, I beat it in this long. The ending was kind of a letdown, blah, blah, blah. And I can see that, but I mean, I enjoyed the stories as well as the gameplay, so I actually did enjoy the story a lot.
So I don't know how far I'm into it, but...
When you think it's going to end, it's not the end. I'll tell you that much.
I play a lot of... I've been trying to get the ghost... rating on there, where you don't do anything other than the primary objective.
That you don't kill anybody, you don't attack anyone, just keep moving.
Yeah, and I keep running into spots where I do need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured maybe Devouring Swarm is going to work, won't cause for like chaos or whatever, and it's still cut. counts for towards chaos or whatever, or killing somebody.
I haven't looked at the algorithm for what counts as an alert or alarm and what doesn't.
Have you found a way to do it without raising any alert at all?
Yeah, but that's later on in the game once you get your full suite of powers, or you can at least like upgrade some of them. Like Blink, you can upgrade to where you can travel more distance in a short amount of time, as well as use less mana, and that really comes in handy. And then that's
the first one I upgraded, but it's just level 2. Like I got level 2 that, I got level 2 Devour.
Yeah, Possession is really handy too for trying to go through. I think you can do that with Ghost Ranking, because once you take it to level 2 and you can possess people, you can take them where you need to go. You have a limited amount of time you're in there, but if you can stop them near an area that you can just instantly come out of them and then blink upward, they're disoriented for a minute or two. You know, and it gives you a sort of, for a second or two, it gives you a chance to get away.
Yeah, so far I've been enjoying it. I mean, I've been using the blink a lot. I've been using, I really don't use my gun ever.
No, I actually never use the gun.
Like, I thought about upgrading it, and I was like, you know what, I want to play this more like a stealth game, so...
Actually, I'll tell you, I did use it one time, that was in the banquet, which you saw me playing that part, the masked ball.
Yeah, I've used it, like, when I first started playing the game,
yeah,
I used it a couple of times. I was like, you know what, it's effective, but it's really loud.
I prefer the gun. I prefer the blade.
I prefer the blade, too. I like the sleeping darts a lot.
Yeah, sleeping darts are really cool. And later on, as you run into plague victims, you have the option of either straight up killing them, or putting them to sleep. You can go either way, or just trying to get by them without them seeing you. So, but they're very reactive to noise.
Yeah, I usually throw Devour on them or something like that.
Yeah, and you just kill the poor bastards. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, put them out of their misery.
Yeah, but there could be a cure around the corner.
Well, and I like the whole assassination aspect. Like, I don't necessarily want to play it completely non-lethal.
Yeah.
So I got the one where if you kill somebody without them seeing you, they instantly dissolve.
Yeah.
That one's really cool, especially when you're headshotting people with your crossbow.
Yeah.
So, Overall, I've been fairly addicted to it. I played through it last night. I played through it this morning.
Mm. Well, later on, you get the ability to where actually all bodies will dissolve the second you kill them, regardless of if you snuck up on them or if you just, you know, straight up went head-to-head.
Yeah, and that's the only problem I've had so far is just... same problem. The only really difficult aspect of it so far is just trying to get through it without raising any alert whatsoever.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult. Once you get human possession, it's a little bit easier, because then you can walk through, which you haven't even run into Gates of Light yet.
Yeah, I have.
Have you run into Gates of Light?
Tons of them.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if you had or not. But it helps you with getting by those, as well as spot towers. And
I usually reverse polarity on them so they shut themselves.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. It actually makes the people just disappear. It disintegrates them, but yeah.
That's
a little more than a shock.
I like reversing wiring and doing all... I like booby traps a lot.
Yeah,
if they have the dogs walking around, I'll drop those wire traps.
Yeah, yeah.
Kill the dogs that way.
So I didn't use the wire traps that often. I was more just relying on powers and just climbing a lot of buildings.
I think where I get distracted and where my biggest time sink is finding all the secrets. And you get the item that lets you...
The charm and all that.
Yeah, the charm. And then, like, I'll go around just looking all over the place before I even start the objective. So it doesn't seem like anything's really timed so far.
No. Have you used the heart?
Yeah.
Really? Because that'll help you really narrow down where those bow charms and stuff are.
I'm not that early. I would guess I'm maybe at the midpoint.
Probably not.
Maybe. I've sunk about 8 hours into it.
Yeah. I think the midpoint would probably be about 3 or 4 missions once you get to the end.
So, I'd say I'm on my 4th mission. I don't know how many total missions there are.
I'm trying to think of how many there are at the end. Hold on, there's one.
Trent's...
Which one are you on?
I don't want to really give it away.
Well, I mean, just give me a gist so I can figure out which part it is.
So, I had to capture somebody.
Okay. Yeah. You're about to go to the Masquerade Ball. Okay, once you go to the Masquerade Ball... You still got another mission or two after that, and that's the midway point.
Okay.
Somewhere around that. Yeah.
I'm getting a decent amount of play.
Yeah.
Gameplay out of it.
Yeah.
Not dissatisfied with the purchase at all. It's been thoroughly enjoyable. It's not... Like, I didn't know where... Like, I'm still looking for games of the year, you know, for this year. And so far, I like XCOM a little bit better.
Yeah.
Mostly because I like strategy a lot better than I do just straight first-person anything. Mm-hmm. But it's a different first-person kind of game. I mean, it is really more stealth-based than anything. I mean, I suppose you could go through it and charge through everything, but that wouldn't be any fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot more fun to sneak around and assassinate people.
Yeah.
So, for that, it's pretty fun. The kill cam stuff's pretty cool. It doesn't overdo it. I guess you can change that feature too, but
yeah, you can turn. You can have it do it frequent or less. Also, I mean, just the I like the open approach to missions where it's like when you're on some missions, like you're supposed to go kill this dude, and they say, "Well, here's another option where you instead of killing them, you can ostracize them and make them be claimed as a heretic and kicked out, or you can make this death look like an accident rather than an actual murder, or you can have the person." And I'm talking about the two brothers, which they actually they preview that one about 5 months ago. They showed that entire mission and talked about it, so that's why I'm going to bring that one up, because people who have watched stuff about Dishonored have already seen it. And you have this option on taking these two brothers out. One of them's down in the steam room, and you have the option of going in there and just straight up killing him and his guards and the bitch he's with, or you can break the steam valve and steam him to death. But there's also a third one, which is a previous mission, will give you the option to make a deal with somebody who will just make the two brothers disappear. They won't die, but they'll be kicked out of the city somewhere else, and they'll live their life out, you know, as long as they're going to live, but they won't be in power anymore.
Which was the option I chose, just because it seemed a little bit more... In my mind, it felt more diabolical than the other option.
Yeah.
So I chose ostracizing. Ostracizing.
Think of ostriches.
Overall, though, I mean, the way the game looks, it looks like a watercolor painting.
Yeah.
That's what it really reminds me of. It's very... I wanted to say, like, time period-wise, it would have been somewhere in the late 1700s.
Yeah.
I mean, some people might say steampunk, but, I mean, really, it's just... I guess it kind of is. It's like...
Yeah, it is kind of steampunk.
But, I mean, it also is just drawing on, like, people's modern visions at that time of how technology would advance, you know? Like, everything's powered by whale oil.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But the whole other aspect with the... your powers and things are pretty neat. With that, that's kind of a...
Yeah, the Outsider thing, yeah. Was they already talked about that one, too. I've been following this game for a long time, so I know all the stuff they talked about beforehand.
Well, for those who didn't want to delve into it, it's a, kind of a neat aspect of how they bring the powers into play.
Yeah. And then, like, the thing I was talking about with... Now, this is a Bethesda-produced, not... You know, they didn't develop, but... One of the things that you run into with Bethesda games is a lot of backstory in articles and books and everything, and this definitely has that flavor to
it. Yeah, it does. You've got all these random books all over the place. You can read little excerpts about different things that are happening in the environment and in this world.
They give you history about, like, sometimes where you are, certain people you're going after, stuff like that. It's kind of cool. I like it because it's very Elder Scrolls-ish in the way that it just kind of... I think
this is
Elder Scrolls-esque is easier to say.
I want to say there's a pretty rich history to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to see what they do with DLCs for it, so...
Yeah, overall, definitely not dissatisfied with the purchase.
The only thing
The only thing I was going to say is sometimes it feels kind of sparse.
Yeah.
Like you got these really expansive environments, and...
It's very narrow where they're trying to push you through.
Well, I mean, it's open-ended on the solutions and where you can go and the pathways, but, like, ultimately you're talking about... Every mission's like 4 city blocks.
Yeah.
Just there's a lot of vertical.
Yeah.
A lot of verticalness to the whole thing. So, I mean, you can kind of go anywhere you want.
Yeah, but it's one of the things I kind of missed that I wish I would have brought was a New Game Plus where you could go. Well, there's two things where there was a New Game Plus where it gets a little bit more difficult and you keep your powers, you retain those. But also the ability to journey back to certain areas would have been nice.
Well, you do revisit a couple of areas.
I mean free play, where you can actually like free roam back and grab things that you missed, as well as, you know, if you're looking to get achievements of killing certain people a certain way, you know, doing stuff like that. Otherwise, you have to play it back through again, which isn't that bad because, you know, there's different endings depending on how you play it. But I would have liked to have seen a free roam as well as a New Game Plus. Also, I did notice that depending on how you play the game, like, the city changes depending on how you...
I was
going to
bring that up.
Yeah.
Like, they specifically say it at an early point in the game. It's like, so, this last time you played through this, you killed everybody. That's gonna play into how the city is now. Now the watch is going to be tougher.
And you see them executing people publicly and stuff. And
yeah, you're going to see a lot more of... What do they call them? They're not...
Weepers. They call them weepers.
Weepers, right. Yeah. Weepers being people that are severely infected to the point of...
Or people are just even slightly infected. Those people who are running towards the bridge to get away. At one point, you just see those the still writer guys just walk up and start blasting them in the back and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just they're killing anybody they think is infected, and it's because you're an asshole and you played like an asshole. So
more people died because of you.
Yes.
But overall, I didn't know how I was going to rate it. I'm not going to put it in Game of the Year material. But out of this year, it still ranks pretty high. It's still probably my top 10 this year.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. So
I'll probably go back through it at some point after I beat it.
Yeah.
I've also been playing a lot of Ogre Battle.
Oh, yeah.
The Let Us Cling Together. It's been one of those like titles that I can kind of pick up and put down because it saves. You can kind of save it anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been nice on my PSP to just like pick it up at night when I've had a really long day and play for like an hour or two and then put it right back down and save more or less exactly where I was at before.
Yeah.
I can tell that game's going to have a shitload of gameplay. Mm-hmm. It seems like every battle takes you about 30 minutes or so. So
nice.
Very much plays like old Ogre Battle. You're in exchange, everything else. The story's pretty compelling. I am glad. That's really the only reason I bought my PSP.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm really enjoying too. Go ahead. Let's say kind of off topic. So today, like, I'm trying to figure out what I was wanting to do today, and it's going to be like my only day off this week. And going through the DVR, seeing what we had to record, and it's like, you know what? I recorded Black Swan a while back.
Oh, did you finally watch it?
That movie's kind of kick ass.
Yeah, what did you think of that masturbation scene? You're like, oh, this is hot. Then you're like, oh, fuck.
Well, like, turned it into like this psychological horror thriller movie.
Yeah. It actually made me want to bang Natalie Portman again. I was like really surprised. I was like, you know, I got kind of tired of her, and now I'm like, dude, Natalie Portman's kind of hot.
So, I did not realize how hardcore they're gonna lesbian like, Mila Kunis at.
That was actually pretty good. I mean, this is the man look at it.
The movie's done really well though. I mean,
the actual film critic view is that it is a very good movie. It's very psychological, deep, and disturbing, and is beautifully directed. You know,
so really without giving too much away, I mean, if most of our listeners, I don't want to stereotype most of our listeners, but for ballet's sake. I mean,
it's like you take your wife to the ballet when you want to get a blowjob. Yeah. Yeah. South Park. Yeah.
That's musicals.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. So.
Close. So the idea being the Black Swan thing is the story basically being that there's this one chick that's trying to get with this other dude, and this other dude gets seduced by her twin sister, and then she kills herself because of the twin sister.
Yeah.
And so Natalie Portman's struggle through the whole movie is she's a tight ass. Like she's under a lot of pressure.
She's also really naive. Like she still lives at home with her mother.
Like she's one of those girls in her early 20s that's like that. Every guy has probably dated this girl at one point.
Like basket case.
Yeah, like they're like way too stressed out, way too uptight. And it's her trying to figure out how to loosen up. It's just she kind of goes overboard with loosening up. To the point where she just kind of her whole psychosis breaks, and then that's where the whole psychological horror thing comes in.
The end is epic. You're just like, fuck.
So, I mean, like, I didn't know how to like it. I was just kind of watching it in the background while I was playing some Dishonored earlier today, and about 30, 45 minutes into the movie, I was like, this is getting kind of intense.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I did not see the movie going this way. I didn't read any synopsis on it. It was just like, in the back of my mind, I was being a pig, and I was like, Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman les out. I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna be as much of a pig to just skip to that spot. I'm gonna watch the movie all the way through.
Yeah.
And so I was paying attention to it more or less, and then building up to that, I was like, this is getting kind of intense. And then I just was like, this is a really serious movie. I'm gonna sit back for a minute and just watch the rest of this.
Yeah.
So, pretty crazy movie, guys.
It was pretty good. I watched it about a year ago, and it's still... Anytime someone brings it up, I'm like, oh, dude, yeah, that was a good movie.
That's like, that really gives her some acting chops, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, both of them did astounding jobs, so.
I mean, I know people say, you know, like,
Natalie Portman.
What was the movie she did right before that with Hugo Weaving?
V for Vendetta. Yeah, she did V for Vendetta.
And that's, some people like that, like her to hate it, she has some pretty good acting chops in that.
She did a good job in that, yeah.
But in this movie, she really shows her off her chops. I was really impressed.
Yeah. Well, it's like Mila Kunis, you know, went from That 70s Show to American Psycho 2, onward to stuff like, you know,
Book of Eli.
Book of Eli. Which, that's and, a kick-ass movie. Extract with Jason Bateman. Yeah, it was a very depressing movie that I would not watch if I were. It's a great movie, but it is so fucking depressing. And it's a Mike Judge movie.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, oh, Mike Judge is going to be funny. You watch it, you're going to blow your brains out by the end. You're just like, this is so fucking depressing. And, but it's a good fucking movie, and she did a good job in it. And then you got Natalie Portman, of course, you know, who went from, like, The Professional, who's done a lot of serious movies, for even, you know, at a young age, and has always just been really good. And as she got older, it's just, you're like,
and obviously she got cast in the whole Star Wars debacle. And
yeah, that's kind of when I stopped really caring for her. And then just like, she came back with this. Was like, this
yeah, Lucas good. Almost ruined her career.
Yeah, V for Vendetta and this one pretty much made her in my, like, my list of, yeah, she's cool. So, but she did a good job in V for Vendetta. I liked it.
Yeah, like I said, like it or hate it. Some people really hate that movie. I really like that movie.
We even have a V statue back
you got
there.
A V statue. I got a poster in my room.
Yeah, and I got a statue that talks. Yeah.
Does he really talk?
Yeah, he does the whole V speech.
the paragraph long of V's.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty fucking awesome.
That is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, when I saw him at my store, I was like, I need this. So I said, this is broke. It's going home.
So yeah, Black Swan. That movie's intense.
Yeah. Anyways, let's
move on to games.
Well, actually, no, there's one other thing. I watched Chernobyl Diaries the other night.
Yeah, were you thinking of, like fucking Stalker the whole time? Or?
Sort of, actually. I thought that came up in my mind once or twice, but it's done by the guy who did Paranormal Activity, which told me I shouldn't watch this. Because yeah. I will actually watch the Paranormal Activity movies. That's the thing, is I hate them, but I will watch them. I don't know why. It's like Blair Witch Project. You fucking hate it.
I just don't like the reality horror stuff.
Well, this one's not done with the cams and stuff. It's actually, you know, shot like a regular movie. And the whole backstory is this American and his fiance, girlfriend and a friend of theirs go to Kiev to go and visit his brother who lives there, and his brother wants to take them on an extreme tourist group.
Right.
To Chernobyl, which is now radioactive, not radioactive free, but, you know, lowered amounts of radioactivity. So they go there, and, of course, the car gets fucked up, there's weird people living there, and they start killing them off one by one, and it does not have a happy ending, I'll tell you that much. By the way, the only reason I really wanted to watch it was because they shot it at, you know, Chernobyl. They actually shot it at the site, that city that's around Chernobyl, I don't remember the name of it. And I really wanted to see this real natural landscape that's been, you know, just left alone for 50, you know, some odd years. Nothing living there. And they go into the buildings, you get to see the buildings and stuff, and they go into the substrate areas, and it was actually really cool looking. It's just a horrible fucking movie.
So I wonder with Chernobyl, I mean, is there no longer fallout there, or?
Well, no, it's just, it takes like 50 years for that shit to go away, and it's something like that. It's to a point where it's actually like, you can go there for a while, you just don't want to stay.
You wouldn't want to live there, obviously.
You don't want to live there, but you can be there for a little bit, and then it gets bad, probably.
You could go get sterile really quick there, I'm sure.
Yeah, those were a bunch of young actors, so, yeah.
No more kids for them.
Yeah, no more kids for them. No, I'm sure it was very safe, considering the amount of money that the guy made off Paranormal Activity series, plus the new one that's coming out.
I mean, they wore lead underwear.
Wore lead underwear.
But, so, speaking of that, there's a lizard reactor that I used to deliver materials to.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I used to wear this lead vest that had this little flap that kind of covered your cock.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, it was like, my job doesn't pay enough for this.
Yeah, no shit.
I was just like, yeah, I don't know about this.
Well, there's that.
Like, I'd go deep down underground and deliver, like, fucking pipe and, like, solder and all sorts of shit to the engineering department, and it's like, yeah. I don't know about all this shit.
Well, there's this guy that Brian knows that was at the Gore show. We were there, and he was talking about his job, and we were going, so what do you do? Because he makes, like, a bunch of money. He makes, like, $25 an hour. And we're like, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I go out into the field into these different areas, and I test for radiation. And I looked at him, I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I go down, I got like a Geiger counter on me, going down these really steep, you know, holes and stuff, where you're slipping and sliding and crap, and all of a sudden the Geiger starts going off, and you gotta stop yourself, and you gotta get the fuck out of there. It's like, I had a couple close calls where they had to hose me down, the hazmat team and shit, and when we find it, we start laying down pipe, and we get all the radioactive materials out of there, and I was like, is that here? And he's like, yeah. And I was just like, I don't want to live here anymore. That's fucked up, dude. No wonder these people look like they do when you go to Walmart at 3 in the morning. So, you ever go to Walmart at 3 in the morning, you see these people, they're like twice your age, and they're just like crackhead decrepit, and you're like, you have that moment where you wonder, is that my future?
You know what's weird is like, at this point in life, like being in our 30s, like you look at people and kind of wonder how old they are, like how old they look, you know? And I found out some people that I work with that look like they're in their 40s are actually younger than I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which kind of trips me the hell out.
Yeah, it scares you.
Yeah. Or, like, you'll run into somebody you think's, like, in their, like, mid-30s, end up being, like, your dad's age or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, kind of just goes to show, like, after like after about 25, it's all bets are off. Mm. You don't know how old you're going to look. Yeah. You might look young forever, you might not.
See, luckily, it's like when I was at the bar last
week.
Like,
I mean, me and you pretty much look our age. We don't look, like, crazy old or crazy young.
Well, see, when I was at the bar last Friday, I was hanging out with Holly, and she had a bunch of her friends from one of the places she used to work. Bunch of like 20, 21, 23 year old, you know, people and stuff. And I made this 21 year old girl do the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was up at the bar. I know. I was up at the bar buying them, and I was like talking to her, and she started commenting about how she's surprised I let her drink there because she looks like she's 12. And I looked at her and I was like, no. And she goes, well, how old do I look? I was like, 25. She's 21. She goes, oh, well, no, I'm 21. I was like, oh. And she goes, how old are you? I was like, take a guess. And she's like, 26. And I was like, no. I was like, no. I'm not as old as that creepy dude at the bar, which was Scott. I was like, I'm not his age, but, you know, I'm 33.
Well, truth be told, Scott doesn't look his age either.
No, he doesn't. That's why whenever, like, you know, you, me, and Scott go out, you know, all of us don't look older or younger than the other.
Right, and it doesn't look awkward.
Except for when we're all at the bar and Scott's, like, sitting there in his Van Damme outfit.
Well, yeah. It's when he used to... I'm not going to go.
Yeah, but either way. Yeah, Scott's just, like, he's close to, like, what is it, 40? Or he is 40, isn't he?
40. I don't want to destroy his age.
Yeah, I want to destroy the illusion.
The illusion, yes.
Yeah. Speaking of illusion, I came up with a new name for Holly.
What's that?
Well, we were sitting outside Vanessa's and Brian's because we were helping them move last night, and we were talking, and she was bitching about her boobs, about them being huge, or something like that. And I said to her, I was like, yeah, your boobs really aren't that big. And I said, it's just that you're so small. You have normal-sized breasts, but you're so small they just look bigger. And she's like, yeah, that's about right. And I said, so that means you're a boob illusionist. And I called her a boob illusionist.
Nice.
So that's her new stage name is the Booblusionist. So, by the way,
I always have a hard time commenting on my friend's breasts because I always feel weird about it.
Yeah, Holly's kind of one of the guys though, so she talks about her boobs more than anybody else. But anyways, let's see here. Off movies, off age, off boobs.
And, I'm back to games.
Yeah, so you do some more XCOM.
Yeah, I definitely did more XCOM. Yeah. I got a. 2 hours into it, slamming through it, and that was in 3 days, so I really poop-socked the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of those days being a working day. Two of those days being working days.
Yeah.
But overall, that game's really good. That game is still... I still like that better than I like Dishonored, and I'm surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because I am such a fan of strategy games overall, and it's... Overall, one of the things that I like best about is the customization and... Someone wrote an article a little while back, and a friend of mine posted a link on my wall that you should name your characters in XCOM after people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used the old tabletop crew and created names for them all.
Yeah.
So, myself being Papa Bear, Scott being Scooter, John being Musum, Dave being Perch, Matt being Meat Shield, and then Carrie being Doc.
Nice.
So, and then I made him look fairly close, which was actually kind of creepy. Well,
beefed up versions
of him. A little bit, yeah. But, like, yeah. Scott's face on the character that I made for him, he's like a... He is a psionic sniper, meaning he's got some powers to, like, do some kind of, like, psychic power on somebody to mind control him. Or he can do... Or not... Yeah, it is mind control. He's got mind control on his.
Mm.
Or, like, a damage, like, attack or whatever with it.
Yeah.
On top of being a sniper with a jetpack.
Yeah.
So, which I'm sure
he's Scott just, would probably love.
Scott probably would love.
Well, see, I used to, I remember like, back in the day of like RPG games, like, you know, when you could just name your entire crew, I would name them after people I knew.
I think it's more fun that way.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like, you feel bad, you know, when they die and stuff. You're like, oh, like Final Fantasy VII. You can name anybody in that game you wanted to.
Well, it's like I had people, you know, James, your old drummer, as one of my characters, and he died fairly early on. I was like, ah, damn it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to nickname him, so I just called him the Rooster.
I think we called him Drum Machine.
But, maybe, yeah.
Or drum kit. I can't remember. It was a joke we had, you know, where, you know, what's the difference between a drummer and a drum machine? You only have to hit the drum machine once.
Yeah.
He didn't like that joke too much.
Well, I did call him Carrot Top at first, but...
You could call him Bridge Builder.
Bridge Builder.
That's an old joke.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that joke.
Yeah, we were playing a show down in Houston at the Meridian, which is a huge, huge club. And we were down there, and the sound guy, whose name was Kirk James, or James Kirk, I think was his name.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I was like, were your parents like Star Trek fans? He goes, what do you think? He's like, you don't even want to know what my middle name is. And I was like, oh, I feel so bad for you. Yeah, I was like, I feel so bad for you. But either way, it's actually Kirk Tiberius James was his name. Yeah, I was like a little dyslexic there, but anyways.
Well, they're just trying to tie it in somehow.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, we were sitting around, and I remember we were doing some sound checks, and something happened, and he was like, you know, the worst part about being a sound guy is when everything's going great, it's, you know, everybody loves you. When something goes bad, they don't like you anymore. It's kind of like bridge builders. You know, you can build bridges all your life, and people call you a bridge builder, but you suck one dick, and they don't call you a bridge builder anymore. It became this, like, this ongoing joke.
Well, it's actually a fairly old joke.
Yeah, it's an old joke, but we just hadn't heard in a while. It was just funny as shit, so we started calling James Bridge Builder. Like, I call him Bridge Builder every once in a while. So, and he would know what I was trying to call him at the time, which was cocksucker. But, yeah, you could have called him that. That would have been funny.
Yeah, it's not as funny to do, like, a derogatory nickname for a friend if they're not there to see it.
I still get a kick out of it. Yeah, so tell me about the XCOM New Game Plus.
Well, it's not really any, except if you want to put it on the harder difficulties. And one of the ways that you can do that is you can put it on on Iron Man mode, which means you only get a single save. And with that single save, you can only... you can set it to autosave, and it'll autosave over, like, every other battle.
Yeah.
Say every other battle, every, like...
turn?
Or every other turn, yeah. For every battle. Which will help you out a little bit, but it's... that game can get really hard really quick. So I put it on advanced starting out. And my whole party got wiped out on my first mission.
Nice.
So I put it back down to normal and then put it on and then put it on Iron Man mode to give myself some extra challenge. Because I was like, well, maybe I'm not good enough at this to put it on advanced. Like, it still was fairly difficult in a lot of parts.
Yeah.
I'd almost recommend anybody that is playing it to skip laser weapons altogether, especially if you're playing it on a harder difficulty. And if you can tough it out, skip straight to plasma weapons. Plasma weapons have a lot more bang for your buck than laser does.
Yeah. Nice.
So, again, with that game, the idea is get as many satellites up around the globe as fast as you can and get your interceptors ready so you can get those materials from the UFOs you shoot down, and then you can also get more battles in between, like, campaign points.
Nice.
The big thing that I thought was really neat is they use some kind of... It's kind of like Civ, like, they have kind of a random map generator to where... Like, I would, when I was playing through the main campaign the first time through, like, I'd go to a map, and I'd start battle, and I'd start sucking really bad, and I'd reload a previous save. And reload the previous save, which was right before I went on to that mission. Mm-hmm. Go do the mission again, and load a completely different map that was themed according to the country it was in, but everything was rearranged differently. Like, there's preset arrangements, but there's a lot of them. I would venture to say over 100 different map variants. You know, and they're all grids or whatever. But... overall, that game is kind of crack. I gotta say, that's could easily be put on a controller since everything's laid out in a grid.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not anything that you have to do that's, you know, that's real time. So everything you're doing is you're planning out moves anyway, and it's not necessary to have a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
So I would, for anybody that's a big fan of strategy, I'd definitely pick it up. And then with it being the same people who do Civ 5, they make an amazing game. So
yeah, for Axis.
Yeah, those guys kick ass at making strategy games. So that's overall, it's a fantastic game. It's
nearly
flawless. The only thing I would like to see more is I'd like to see a little bit more of Tech Path.
Mm.
Like, it felt a little bit overwhelming at first, and then the last, let's say the last 10 missions, I wasn't upgrading anything at all because I'd already upgraded everything I could.
Yeah.
So, that was my only gripe.
Yeah. Well, I know that Borderlands had released the Necromancer pack the other week.
And then they released a new DLC.
Yeah, and they just bought the new DLC. I went ahead and bought it, so I grabbed it for $10. And it's the Pirates one. I don't remember what it's called, but...
I might need to jump back in there.
Yeah, I looked through some of the stuff where it looks pretty entertaining, so I'm going to probably get on that this weekend. I'm in the middle of building a new website for portfolio stuff. So once I have time free this weekend, I'll be able to do that as well. And but it looks cool. So
I'm going to try to burn through Dishonored maybe the rest of tonight. And tomorrow I'm going to jump on maybe a little bit of Borderlands.
Yeah. And so we'll be able to talk about Borderlands next week. So... But other than that, let's see here. What is there? Nothing really.
Yeah, you want to take a quick break?
No, we don't really need one.
Well, we need to discuss other things.
No, we don't. This is the Trek Cast. No breaks are allowed.
All right, we'll be winging something that we should discuss.
It's fun when we wing it. Trust me. Trust me. So, let's see here. So, let's go ahead and jump into some news.
You're going to have to give me a minute, because I usually do that during the break to pull that up.
Yeah. I love to watch the chaos it unleashes from there being no break.
It's kind of boring is what it really is.
Not really. We can talk about Bontrier, because we talked about him earlier. But because we were talking about Black Swan.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking about suspense horror films and stuff in the vein of like Antichrist and what else? Oh, Eden Lake. And I think we were discussing the difference between your typical horror films where it's like, you know, once they bring a monster into it, it's kind of like this absence of reality at that point. But when it's an actual human element that's the scary part of it, that makes it a little bit more intense. And we were discussing that with Bontrier's work, and I remember I'd mentioned to you Melancholia, which is his newest one that just came out with Kiefer Sutherland and Kirsten Dunst, John Hurt. It's worth checking out. Yeah. You got your shit up yet?
Yes, I do.
Okay, there we go.
So, yeah, the Borderlands 2 content's called Captain Scarlet and Her Pirate's Booty.
Yeah, that's it. Sounds hot. Captain Scarlet looks pretty hot.
One of the other things that we'd brought up that I didn't get a chance to fund, but I know that John was pimping out really hardcore with Carousel, and I thought it was really worth it. Another isometric top-down RPG in the vein of Baldur's Gate.
No. Oh, yeah.
And done by, not NXL, but same guys, basically, Obsidian.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Project Eternity. It actually is the highest-funded game ever. The highest funded game project ever on Kickstarter now.
Nice.
It beat out Wasteland 2. It beat out the project for that adventure game that Double Fine was doing.
Yeah. How much did they actually raise?
Almost $4 million.
Nice.
So, yeah, the highest funded game project ever. So, if you want to look that up, I can put a link on the site. I'm kind of interested in it. Minecraft 360 Edition update is out. Now they got the super flat world type. There is now hunger, NPC villages, music discs, chargeable bows, critical hits, sprinting. You can now parry with a sword. You got new food items, blah, blah, blah. It's basically a lot more like the PC version now.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how big the worlds are, because they're talking about biomes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have to fire it up and see how big it is now.
Yeah, I'm sure Holly will probably hop on there.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. She's kind of fairly addicted to it.
I do have a piece of news, of course, you know, BFG, Doom 3 Edition, finally launched.
Yeah, I was going to see it. I think Rex was going to pick it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to pick it up and going to wait until the end of the month probably to pick it up, and possibly. But, of course, I do have Hitman coming out next month, so I'm not sure, as well as Assassin's Creed coming out at the end of this month. But
well, we have some possible stuff that we may be talking about next week with another project for some other things. So.
Yeah, but there was that... on Steam, they were doing a sale, and so when I picked up Borderlands 2, I did pick up Payday the Heist.
Yeah,
that
I need to play that again.
Well, I picked up that expansion, but here's the cool thing about that expansion that they put out, that the dog expansion, is that it has some extra maps, but they allow it to be actually hosted, so you don't have to pick up the expansion. and you can still play it with me because it'll be hosted by
me. Yeah, the expansion's like, what, $5?
Actually, it's only $2.49 right now because it's on sale. It's actually $10 normally, but 75% off right now. That's what I was going to say.
You know, for people that haven't played that, I know it's only on PlayStation.
Yeah.
But for consoles, that game is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
I think it would be its best when you have more than just me and you.
Yeah.
Like, if we could get two other people to play with us.
Yeah. I originally played it with Troy from
Extra Play.
Yeah, from Extra Play. That's who I originally played it with after work one morning. and we burned through it, I think, that day. Yeah, it's not a relatively long game.
Well, it's about like Left 4 Dead. It's just set up straight for straight co-op.
Yeah, it's pretty damn fun and pretty intense at times. And the new expansion brings in some extra maps and extra weaponry, as well as I think you can add new deployable items and stuff, as well as interactive stuff, which is kind of cool. And it is a really fun game, in my opinion. It's worth picking up, be it on sale or not. But I think they're doing a free-to-play weekend this weekend, so for those of you on Steam who are iffy about grabbing it, you should grab it on the free-to-play and just check it out, because it is a really fun game. So,
yeah, I was actually fairly impressed.
Yeah,
not game of the year material, but definitely...
Definitely
one of those budget games that if you want to... I say budget. It's a AAA title.
Yeah.
It's just that it's one of those things where it's just multiplayer only.
Yeah, it's largely built for multiplayer. And it's a lot of fun. It's something interesting, you know. It's different, you know. So you're playing bank robbers and you got to go through the heist and follow the plan. There is a story built into it, which is a lot of fun. And what else is there? Also, Sleeping Dogs is actually on sale right now for like $24.
I keep hearing good things about that.
Oh, yeah. Brian picked it up and he loves the hell out of it. So, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to bother grabbing it this time around. I'll probably wait till it goes on sale again. But I think that's going to be on sale for like most of the rest of the week, through the weekend.
So, one of the other things, and we tried getting a Wii. I tried getting a Wii U, but
it was already.
It was pretty much already sold out by the time I was going for it, which was the same weekend that it went on sale.
Yeah.
They have a new Super Nintendo-inspired Wii U controller. And what it basically looks like is it looks like an Xbox 360 controller with a miniature Super NES controller, like, inside it. And what I mean by that is where your D-pad is, like right below your thumbstick, that's the SNES D-pad.
Oh, yeah.
And where your buttons would normally be for your Xbox, that is the same buttons layout that they have on the Super Nintendo. So that little, like, we remember them being a lot bigger than they were.
Yeah.
They really aren't that big.
Yeah.
They're like that
freaking big. Yeah, like but like the CD case is fucking wider.
Yeah. And so it's like, that's the button layout in the middle of it, aside from the analog sticks.
Yeah. That's kind of an interesting way to implement it, just taking that little D-pad and actually giving it a bit more function by adding buttons next to it. That's kind of interesting.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
There was I was looking through Twitter news, and not that I like looking through Twitter news, but there was a tweet by head designer Nathan Cheever of Prey 2, and he basically said that the game is not canceled, but they're just uncertain. Originally, they put it in limbo because...
For which game?
Prey 2.
Oh, Prey 2, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was really mad about that.
Yeah, they were citing quality issues, so...
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't want it to go full throttle because maybe they didn't have a direction for the game or something. I don't know.
Well, they had actually talked about the direction where they said that they had taken it away from Prey and they had explained what they were doing.
Well,
they were
doing the whole bounty hunter thing, which I think was cool, but maybe they just ran into an issue with the storyline or the budget or something.
Yeah, I mean, it looked fantastic and the game was actually pretty much ready, like, it was close to launch. I mean, it was like maybe about a half year away.
Digging further into that, they were nowhere close to launch.
Not really? That might be what it's probably
all they,
production.
Like, all they did was they put together some stuff, like a single mission.
Yeah.
So, to show people, showed off at
E3. Yeah, but no, I mean, for time frame, though, they were actually, like, I think half a year away from when their launch window was supposed to be, their stated one. So, it was probably something to do with production line. They probably just couldn't get anything approved that they wanted.
I'd almost say they ought to just hold off on it and wait for Unreal 4 engine support by... consoles, maybe push it through to the next cycle on console. Yeah, like, it'll be like, because Prey 1 was like
out.
Yeah, but Prey 1 was kind of like first year dev for Xbox, wasn't it? Like it came out around,
yeah, it was basically the beginning,
like Dead Rising is
for like BioShock and stuff. When you look at Prey, it's very reminiscent of the
BioShock
early stuff for BioShock and crap like that. And It's one of those games where if they would have fixed the story, it wasn't that bad. It's just the story was so fucking god awful. But some of the mechanics they brought into it were really cool.
Yeah, the whole cube thing. And
yeah, with the rotating, like there's the aliens keep their planet in a miniaturized version of it inside this thing, and you actually get to go into the hive planet, which is kind of cool. When in reality, you're actually just in this little tiny little rock that's in the middle of the ship, which is kind of interesting. And there was just some cool stuff you could do with gravity. But the story with the spirit walking and the spirit arrows and the spirit eagle, which is really...
Yeah, I remember you playing it and me just making fun of it the whole way through.
Well, so every time I hear an eagle cry, I think of Prey.
Every time I hear, like, the drum beats.
Well, I was watching Epic Rap Battles of History, because I love those, and they put out the new one, which was Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama. Have you seen that one
yet? I haven't seen that one yet.
You gotta watch that when we go off of here, but they have an eagle cry halfway through it, and it just reminded me of fucking Prey out of nowhere, and so it makes me laugh just a little bit harder. So, but yeah.
Well, in other news, I know you don't like the game, but sure. Enough people like Deadly Premonition that's coming to PS3.
I never said it was a horrible game, it's just, it was so outdated. Yeah.
Well, what they did, well, originally it wasn't worked in HD.
Slender looked better. Slender Man looked better.
It looks like a PS2 game.
Yeah. No, but, even beyond that, it reminds me of an old game for PlayStation 1 called D. Nobody remembers that, probably. Probably maybe some of the older listeners like Ian, or maybe
Eric.
I'm so sorry, Eric. I forgot your gamer tag name. Hyper. Thank you. I was going to say Hurley? Hurley? But yeah, no, he might remember. They're older. But D, that was an old game.
Well, they reworked it in HD. Mm-hmm. So they fixed some of the combat mechanics. And there's going to be post-launch DLC, but it's only going to be for PS3.
Oh, really?
It's coming first quarter 2013.
So that might be interesting to see, since they reworked a lot of it. My biggest gripe with the game was just the mechanics really blew ass. The graphics I really didn't care that much about. I was just like... I looked at it, and I was just like, wow, this really feels like a broken game. Not because of the graphics, just the way it played. And it kind of bothered me, and I really couldn't get into it because of it. It's one of those games, it's almost like Mass Effect 1... When you go off and you play Mass Effect 2 and you say to yourself, you know, I'm going to start all over again and go back and make a new character and redo stuff, and you get back to Mass Effect 1 and you just suffer for like 26 hours.
You realize
hours.
That the coolest thing about Mass Effect 1 was the endless inventory.
Yeah, the endless inventory,
The crappy part about Mass Effect 1 is the combat is not nearly as good as it is in Mass Effect
Plus
2.
Plus the inventory management, because every time you wanted to go and get rid, you had to sit there and cycle back through the list down to where you were. That sucked.
But
PC, they fixed that.
I did like having more inventory.
Yeah, but it was the mechanics.
I know that you and John and a horde of people like the Mako thing. I think the Mako handled like a piece
fun.
Of shit.
I like the Hammerhead in part 2 and 3. That's great. But I mean, I really love the Mako just because it was so much fun just to see how
the jumping,
far you
the
could
jumping
take
bulldozer.
That. Just see how far you could take it. The Jupiter jump on wheels. Yeah, because I would take it up a straight steep and then just jet backwards and just watch it fall. And it's the destructive side in you, you know, and you enjoy it. But planet scanning is
way
faster.
It's kind of boring though.
Yeah, it's faster, but I was gonna say it's a little bit boring, just literally like launching probe. Anomaly detected. But it's kind of fun too sometimes
when
you're first doing it.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, it's cool.
I found it.
Probe launched.
It got pretty mind-numbing pretty quickly.
We have detected an anomaly. That's how well I know it, because I've played it for so fucking long. It's in my brain.
That was a third of Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, but the shooting mechanics and stuff in part 1, after you play part 2, when you go back to part 1, you're just like, holy fuck, how did I do this for 26 hours? This is fucking ridiculous. You're like trying to shoot shit, and it just keeps you like, god damn, cover. And,
well, it's not only that, it's like the shooting mechanic wasn't based on any kind of like real aim mechanics.
Yeah.
It was based on percentages, so it's like you're aiming at something and you're not hitting it.
Yeah, and you're just like, motherfucker.
It's
so
like,
you get
how
as
am
close
I not?
As you can.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't like modern, it didn't have that. Some people might hate on this, but that's the part where they used modern shooting technology or modern shooting mapping or hitboxes and things like that that made sense in 2 and 3 that worked way better.
Yeah. Yeah, the mechanics in 2, which are basically the same ones in 3, beautifully done. Perfect for that type of game, that style of game, and the gameplay, the action they're trying to get you into. And it was beautiful. Plus, you know, they opened you wide, you know, they opened everything wide up with the power wheels and brought in, I mean, they had that in part one, but it was mainly just for weapons. But I really enjoyed all those games. It's just, you know, that's kind of how I relate it to, is going back and trying to do something like that. And it's just a big pain in the ass. So I actually have two games on Mass Effect 2 where I've told myself I will never go back and do Mass Effect 1 again. So I have one that's a full Paragon and one that's a full Renegade. And they're right on Mass Effect 2, saved right at the intro. So if I ever want to start over again, I just start over from there. So, yeah.
I was actually talking to the girlfriend about that the other day. She's like, I think I'm going to start all over from one again.
Yeah.
And work my way all the way through it. I was like, you realize that's going to take you until the end of the year, right?
Well, no, you remember what it was like before Mass Effect 3 came out when I went back and did that.
It's like a month-long foray of hardcore gaming.
It was a month-long foray of hardcore gaming, and I was playing between here and OKC because I was in OKC a lot. So I had my game saved on an external drive. I just would plug into my console up here and then plug into my girlfriend down there, her console down there. And a lot of late nights. A lot of late nights. Bed when I got back in there. So
that aside, and speaking of RPGs, there's a forum user on the Bethesda forums that's dug into some of the code for the new patch for Skyrim.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pull some of the stuff that I found from the story because I think that he was reaching. But there were some references to Dragonborn, obviously, because you have your character is the Dragonborn. But also...
Really?
They were saying maybe it's going to be called Dragonborn. I was like, no, it's probably not going to be called Dragonborn. It's kind of ridiculous.
That's kind of gay.
But there's some references to Soulstein, which is...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, if you've read the lore, you know it's going to be kind of a mountainous...
Mountainous island covered in snow.
Right, and they're going to have ebony mines.
Off the coast of Tamriel.
Right.
Yep. Where the House Wolven is.
Yep.
Ooh, score point. Yeah. I remember Solstheim very well. Why? Because I swam there. I tried to. But I found the way to get there.
So there's some references to Solstheim, which means that we're going to get another...
Area,
which I think will be really helpful to the game. I think we need to have a bigger DLC than we had the last couple.
It'd be nice if it's not just Solstheim, because Solstheim was not a very big area to begin with. It was just a giant castle on this island. It'd be nice if they actually brought a little bit of Tamriel back into it, like such as like Vivec and I can't remember all those towns, but yeah, just brought some of those back in, like maybe the northern tip of the area, so you can go back down there. I mean, I would love to see what Vivec would look like. You know.
Well, I'm getting to that point where, like, my TV that I play all my Xbox games on is 1080i. It's not a 1080p TV. I'm getting to the point where I really want to plug my PC into my TV.
Yeah.
You want instead to of getting another monitor.
Yeah.
Just getting a bigger 1080p LED TV.
Yeah.
And then running it through that for when I'm gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I'm not going to be able to get away from Skyrim.
Yeah.
Even with all these other games coming out, like I think I'm going to be kind of balls deep in that, along with everything else here over the next few months, if they throw out that DLC.
See, I've got that 1080p TV, and so it's like, and you're always kind of about how, like, you know, every time you come over to watch a game that I'm playing that you have, you're like, why does it look so much better on yours? And you sit there and harass me about my settings.
Well, and I look at it, and I know that it has to do with just, well, I'm playing everything in 1080i, and it makes a difference.
Yeah, it really does between inch and pixel, but... that's one of those things where, I mean, I got rid of Skyrim on Xbox, and I'm solely PC on that now, just because it was a good trade-in towards Resident Evil.
Right.
And that's what I really wanted to get that, and I never touch it on Xbox anymore, even though that's where my big file is. I figured I can try and convert it over to my computer, and because I know that there's a way that you can convert your save file over to PC. So I'm going to try and do that at some point. But I got to pick up Dawnguard and see if somebody fixed it to where it'll work after the Dawnguard patch. But I do miss playing on the really big TV. Because, I mean, I have the nice, like, 22-inch monitors, you know, that are 1080i as well. Sorry, 1080p, but it's just not about the TV, you know. So much better.
Well, it's just the bigger screen. It's like... I do like playing PC games, but I like my more comfortable chair in front of my TV.
Yeah.
And if I'm already using my controller anyway,
mm-hmm.
To me, it makes more sense to play it on the larger TV. Yeah. So.
And if this new two jobs I'm looking at probably trying to get pan out, I am going to be investing in some new tech, so we might be getting a 3D television out here in the living room, which will be pretty damn fun, I think. So we can pick up it'll give us a reason to go out and actually buy 3D movies. So.
Well, I do like 3D to a degree.
There's certain ones. Like, when I was...
Like, I really wanted to play... Despite not liking the game a ton, I really wanted to play Revelations, Assassin's Creed Revelations, yeah, in 3D.
Yeah.
Just to see what it was like. Same with Gears of War 3.
And, like, Batman, when they put the 3D edition. Those are one things I'm interested in, but it's like... I remember when I was... dating my girlfriend down. Okay, so she had a 3D... Philips 3D television down in the living room. It was, like, 50-inch. And the cool thing, I mean, you can watch 3D movies on it, but you can also turn on the 3D mode for anything you watch. And it kind of adds this scan onto it that makes it a little bit more 3D-ish.
So adds a little bit of extra depth.
Yeah, so we watched Unknown with Liam Neeson in 3D. And that was actually really fucking cool. Like, the scene where he goes into the water in the cab was actually really fucking awesome. And then we watched Sucker Punch in 3D, and that really didn't... That didn't do anything. We were like, eh.
Well, it's because that movie's boring.
Yeah, it's boring. Search
people don't like it.
It's like Moulin Rouge with fights, basically. Yeah, I was a little pissed off.
The ridiculousness of that movie was just, yeah, like an anime without a story.
Yeah. Oh, I did see some...
I mean, it had a story, but...
Yeah, but I did see some new stills from Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, I do want to see that.
Yeah, I found out some information about it, what they're going to be doing. They're going to have... Place come back in and play Motherfucker, which was Red Mist in the first one. And they're actually going to bring in Mother Russia, which is the bodyguard character, which is awesome. And they have that that Russian chick, Olga somebody, playing Mother Russia, which is really kick-ass. I got to watch her in costume and a couple scenes. And just for those of you wondering out there, yeah, you can find nude photos of her on Google if you Google her. And I mean full nude, and it's if you're into Russian women, like the big muscular Russian women, it is probably up your alley. Kind of like, you know, Dolph Lundgren with a vagina. But yeah, it's definitely looking pretty kick-ass. Then I also found out they were talking about doing a Planet Hulk movie based on the Marvel comic, Planet Hulk.
Huh.
Yeah, they were talking to one of the heads over at Marvel, and they've always talked about it, and he actually... I made a comment about there being some interest in doing it, a live-action Planet Hulk film, because he's talking about the animated film that came out, and he said it was an amazing film, it did a lot of cool stuff, and they really liked it, and they've always wanted to see a live-action version of Planet Hulk, and they're actually exploring avenues into making that a reality right now, which would just be amazingly kick-ass to see, so...
Yeah. Interested in that.
Bad news, Jim Carrey is on the cast list for Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Don't fret yet. I mean, they did a really good job with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but Nicolas Cage, you can make him pretty cool.
You can make him cool. Jim Carrey, I just...
He's still Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Emma Stone doesn't want to marry you. Drop it. So, he's gotten a little weird in his age. But we'll see how it turns out.
Let's say a couple of other quick news bits that I have. If you didn't already know, they're going to make they have a dashboard on Windows 8 that's very much like the dashboard for your Xbox.
Yeah.
And there's games for Windows Live for Windows 8.
Phone.
Yeah. That you can buy through the dashboard on your computer. So, with that being said, they're not going to sell any mature rated games on the PC, which doesn't make any sense.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so explain this licensing. So, they're not going to sell any rated mature games by PEGI.
not any mature rated games through the dashboard.
Oh, through the dashboard. Okay, I thought you were about to. I was like, how can they even do that? Okay, never mind. So okay, yeah. So basically, through the dashboard games tab.
Right. So yeah. I mean,
Steam. which is basically your Xbox tab. So.
And Steam already has mature rated games, so I don't understand what the.
Yeah. Well, also you know, games for Microsoft. Yeah, anything gets released through there will still be free for all.
One of the last things is, we were talking about comic books, so there's a comic book game coming out, and I don't know if you know much about this, but the Vertigo, which is a spawn of kind of like a spinoff from DC, has a series called Fables that's been out for a while, It's like Johnny Appleseed and
yeah.
Paul Bunyan and stuff like that. Anyways, I guess Telltale is going to make a game based on Fables.
Really?
So episodic, which could be,
obviously.
Probably. I'm actually pretty interested in it. I'd like to see what they do with it.
I almost forgot. That is a game I did play this last week. I forgot. I played the new episode of The Walking Dead.
Is that the last episode?
No, there's still one more after that. And in this one, there were a lot of twists and a lot of turns.
It's still really good?
Yeah, it's actually still pretty good. This one was actually really cool. They brought in some characters, some extra people. A lot of death. There's actually a lot more zombie killing in this one. I mean, they're like in one of the previous episodes, you have to escape the hotel, obviously. But in this one, there's a scene where you're going up a fucking tower, up the flight of stairs, and you have a shotgun in one hand and a fucking axe in the other. And you're just blasting zombies as you're walking up behind them. And it's pretty pretty gory. A lot of loyalty decisions you have to make. And pretty interesting turn of events on stuff. So I'm definitely looking forward to the last one. And to be honest with you, I really hope they don't stop there. I hope they keep going. Because with that coming out, and then on top of that, the new season of The Walking Dead started with an epic season premiere that was actually just really fucking good.
Yeah, yeah. I watched that the other night, too. Actually, that was... We went back to killing zombies, and we got, like, as much as I like some shows to be man-soaps, more or less.
Yeah.
Well,
like, first 3-4 minutes, there's no dialogue. It's just grunting and whistles. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I was like, it shows that over the winter, which they skipped, they refined themselves because Rick is in charge. It's no longer democracy, like he said at the end of the last season. He's in charge. He's running shit his way. There's no more arguing. There's no more of this. He's made into a very tight group that operates the way it should in a situation like that. Like a, yeah, like a unit. And there's still tension. It's just they know not to fucking bring it up. You know, not at least not.
They got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, they got bigger fish to fry. And it's fantastic. It's awesome. I loved it.
Yeah. Highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you don't, for whatever reason, don't have it through your provider,
yeah.
Zune Marketplace has it for 240 points an episode.
Yeah. Plus, you can watch it for free on the AMC's Walking Dead website as soon as it airs. So.
So, well, they're only doing it for that one episode.
Yeah, for that one episode, but you can go and watch it. So, yeah, which is nice. And then Always Sunny premiered as well.
I didn't catch that.
You need to. It's good.
Speaking of stuff like that, man, we watched the Robot Chicken's gotten really good.
Oh, yeah.
That white wine?
White, I was telling Holly about that. I was like, white wine. Fuck yeah. I was telling her about that. I was like, it was really fucking funny.
That's probably, like, that show just continues to, like, raise the bar for themselves.
Yeah.
Just their level of creativity. And
every once in a while they slip here and there on a couple episodes, but ever since they hit 100, it's been pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Like, steadily. Fairly fucking solid. Like, I noticed that about, like, South Park. Like, South Park's kind of hit and miss right now.
Yeah.
Like, Human Centipede episode's really good. I mean, the one
it's
where...
It's not one of my favorites. It's a good one. It's got some good one-liners, like, you know, Cartman explaining, you know, what his mom should do before she fucks him. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. What was it? One of the first episode me and you watched last night was from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that was the one with the UPS man.
Yeah, the UPS man was actually was really good.
The Baymax, like, you didn't respect my authority with the fucking Baymax.
That and insecurity.
yeah, insecurity.
Personal security for yourself, and every time somebody gets...
anytime you get afraid.
Afraid or insecure, it goes off.
Yeah, it goes off, and they call you, is everything okay? And you're like, yeah, I just got afraid because somebody told me some very disturbing news about the Jews. there was that one, then we watched the one where Butters goes to Hawaii.
I thought that would be a better episode.
Yeah, that one was a little dry here and there. It had some funny stuff here and there, but like the Elvis ghost was pretty damn funny, but I was hoping for a bit more. I still think the episode that makes me laugh the hardest is still the dolphin and whales episode. Yeah. just to watch those guys just run up over the fucking hills and kill dolphins and whales is fucking funny.
Yeah, there was a slight towards that guy that's on that ship that's... Who's the guy that he has the water cannons and everything? Is that what reality TV show that's like on Discovery?
Oh, the Whale Wars. Yeah, they had that whole thing where I think is it Stan that goes off and he joins Whale Wars and he takes over because he's like, you guys are complete fucking pussies. You just need to ram them. And so he ends up taking over the ship and they turn into like pirates almost, just attacking whalers and shit. And that was
what they're doing is, I mean, like it or hate it or whatever, with killing whales.
Yeah.
They're still doing something fairly illegal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where, I don't know, they're just... different cultures do things differently. I mean,
well, there's different laws for every different culture, but it's one of those things where, you know,
we're getting into a whole political discussion.
Whole different thing, yeah. But yeah, no, whales are majestic creatures. Yeah,
we harvest them for their blubber and dishonored.
Yeah, for their what was it? Ambergris.
Yes.
Yeah. Whale oil. Anyways, yeah, South Park was pretty good. Walking Dead was fantastic, the game, the new episode, plus the new episode of the show. It's just fucking awesome. So,
well, we'll get a new episode here in a few days.
Yeah, I can't wait for this Sunday. Yeah, because I'm going to stay up late just to check it out online, because we don't get it right now, but it looks fantastic. So,
I don't think it's going to be online.
No, I mean on the website.
That's only for the premiere.
I thought they said they were going to do it every week, from what they said.
No, they're not going to.
Oh, they're not going to now?
I'll tell you why off the show.
AMC bastards. Anyways.
So, moving right along, though. That was pretty much all the news we had.
Yeah.
We did have a question last week.
Yeah.
And the question was split into two parts, but basically it's, what is the essential use of Ghost Pepper? Also, what would you guys like to see us play for Gauntlet? Well, I didn't get a lot of responses on the Gauntlet, but I did get a lot of responses on the other. In fact, I got so many responses, it's probably going to take us about 10 minutes to read them all. All
right.
So,
when you want to make a joke about hurting people, everybody's all in on it. So.
Well, so, here we go. Let me pull these up. Whoops. I wasn't... entirely ready for that. Jenny says, put a ghost pepper in a batch of oatmeal raisin cookies. Travis says, ghost pepper eye drops, which is horrible.
That's
horrible.
Man, that might blind somebody.
Scott says, nasal spray, hemorrhoid ointment, feminine hygiene, grind it in someone's underwear.
Lubricant.
Add it with somebody's capsules of Dex. Asthma inhaler.
I know who, wait, did he say Dex or D-E-X?
He's a sliding against
somebody. Yeah, I know who he saw. Yeah, that's a good one.
Squirt gun, facial cream, the list just goes on.
Nice.
Nymph says, just press the peppers to get the oil, put it in a spray bottle, and go to town on keyboards and the door handles. Oh, and he says, for games to play, Halo 4, Mass Effect 3, Happy War, and Gotham City Imposters. Damn it, I meant Halo Reach, not 4, yet.
Yeah.
We got, Danica says, butt plug.
Yeah, that's my SEO show.
That's horrible.
She got some of gray ones. I was going to say put it on the tip of a dick swab.
Well, going off that, Travis comes back and says catheter.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Bob says, I was going to say smear it on toilet paper and wait in the shadows, but nothing will beat butt plug. Nothing.
Yeah.
Can
you
Kevin.
Hold it in?
Kevin says, grind it up and put it in a bottle of face wash or body wash.
So that's the butt plug challenge, is can you hold it?
Scott McFadden says, sex lube? That's the best I can do right now.
Yeah.
Somebody else says, to test for witches? But he's saying that at Scott. Brandy says, put it in some cookies or cake.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Danica goes on, this is one more time I said, make a ghost pepper butt plug, and then everyone was like, shit, how do I top that? I'm still waiting, let's do this. Said catheter was pretty hardcore, though.
Yeah.
And then Hyper says, butt plug wins. I like Gauntlet. How about some Gears 3? So that's pretty much what we had for our responses. I guess it wasn't 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But there's still a decent amount of responses there.
Yeah, butt plug was definitely
the butt
best.
Plug, that's really sinister.
That's pretty bad. I remember it reminds me, we were actually in Danica's office the other week talking about, it was me and Vanessa, were talking about this couple we knew from England who used to live here, and they would come to the club all the time, and one day at their house, he was standing there, a very tall gentleman, and very proper British, you know, and he was just like talking, he goes like, excuse me, I gotta be right back, my butt plug just came out, and just like walks away.
Yeah, where was he?
He was like, wow, that was a surprise. Yeah.
I'm not going to even question as to why.
Don't even know. They were very interesting. They were married and swingers. He was a very tall, black gentleman. She was a very short Cockney girl, like had the full-on Cockney accent, you know, just you couldn't understand half of what she said. The first time I met her, she came up to the DJ booth. She's like, "You got some prawns?" And I was just like, "What?" And she goes, "You know, some prawns." And I was like, "Tron." And she's like, "With the..." At the end, I was like, "Oh, trance." And she's like, "Yeah, you got some..." I was like, "Yeah, sure."
That was your best Cockney accent?
I can't do it right now.
I can't do it.
It was horrible. It was really bad. But once you hang out before, you get there. But they actually came to the club on their anniversary, and it was closed, and we were just hanging out, but we let them in since they brought wine. So...
Yeah, white wine.
Yeah, white wine. Fuck yeah. Get you in the clubs when it's closed.
So, leading on from that, the only thing, we did have one email from Ian.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, "To the nasty one, the Trenolope, the Drunkosaurus Rex, and that Holly Badger that doesn't give a shit."
Yeah, the two bitches are here.
"How excited should I be for Assassin's Creed? Do you think the Revolutionary War is going to be a great setting for a genre with its stealth capabilities?"
I think the Industrial War would be...
So looking at the different settings, like, I see battlefield settings, I also see the forest. The forest, and then I see, like old-school colonial Boston and colonial DC and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good for stealth within those missions.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be more interesting if you have to avoid conflict while you're, like, on a battlefield or something like that.
Well,
they said
something about how you're going to have to do battlefield missions, I think, where you're going to have to assassinate, like, a general from the other side or something like that. And that'll be interesting, trying to...
Like, are they going to do that whole fluid combat mechanic where you can see how many combos you can rank together to get all the way up to somebody?
Yeah.
Like, I want to see how epic the scale of the battle is. Like, mm-hmm. I don't... Like, you know, you play games, and there's always limitations to how many things you can throw on one screen to where it's actually not just static animations that are repeating. Like, are they going to have a full-on battle going on, and you're going to go through...
Is there
going to
be a video in the background while you're running around in the foreground doing stuff?
Well, or is it going to be, like, 20 guys?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In order to make it more believable, you're going to have
500 men.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're going to have to have, like, a basic battle going on, or a section of the battle going on.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to make it load somehow and make that seamless.
Yeah.
That's the part I worry about. For all intents and purposes, though, having a Native American be the one that's doing the, being basically the assassin makes sense.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, first people to use camouflage, when I say first people to use camouflage.
Mm.
But, you know, the ones that actually participated in guerrilla warfare during that time.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, that really fits the persona of the assassin.
Yeah.
And I think that part's really cool. I just don't know how it's going to play it on a battlefield.
I'm going to be, you know, I've always been a big fan of the story behind Assassin's Creed, just the way that they weave it into historical
I'd like to see them wrap it up.
I like to see a little bit of closure on a few things, yeah. But,
I know they want to keep making
yeah.
it. At this point, I just want to see them wrap it up and then take it a whole new direction or just start a new franchise.
Yeah. But it's like, what I was saying is that, you know, I've always been interested with the way that they take, like, Machiavelli, Leonardo da Vinci, all that stuff, and the Borgias, and mix everything in. Historical figures with...
So is it going to be Ben Franklin as your inventor?
I don't know. It could be, for all you know.
I mean,
if you're
going to pick somebody famous, that would make sense.
Yeah, it could be. You never know. And it'll be interesting to see how they do it. I've been trying to stay away from reading too much about it because I always like the surprise when it comes to Assassin's Creed games with the stories. And I knew Michelangelo was going to be in Brotherhood. And that kind of made me mad that I found that out beforehand because I would have liked to have just, you know, find out on my own. I also knew Machiavelli was going to be, which kind of pissed me off because I like Machiavelli, like the prince, and so he's a good writer. And so I'm trying to stay away from this one as much as possible. So all I can really contribute is I would be interested to see how the story plays out, how they bring the apple into it, how they bring all that stuff in, the power struggle.
I think what Ian's question is, though, I think is, how's a game that's traditionally been a stealth game? You run into it now. I would venture to say, well, the last game wasn't as much about stealth as it was about fluid combat.
Yeah.
So, I see them, the only thing I can think of, and this can be completely ignorant, well, it is, because I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I can see the fluid combat being a big thing on an open battlefield. I don't know how you're going to stealth through the ranks.
Yeah.
Unless I'm just going to a whole, like, you know, soldier campsite.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Taking out one soldier. If you're going to a stationary and taking a uniform.
But, like, during a battle?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to participate in a battle as one of the Redcoats and then go assassinate one of the generals? Or
yeah, that's.
And I can see them being kind of controversial with this, assassinate generals on both sides.
Yeah.
Because as the assassin, you're going to be truly neutral. You're just basically eliminating members of the Illuminati. So
yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go with it, whilst Templars and Illuminati, but all tones. But it'll be interesting to see how they take it with the combat. Most of the stuff they've shown has been a lot of, like, they've shown some combat where you are getting into combat, but they've also shown a lot of stealth where you're using trees to kind of run through and stay out of the line of sight, as well as using buildings. And so it'll be interesting to play. The one thing that really makes me mad, because I really do like the Assassin's Creed story, is that little freaking, which was Vita. They put out that freaking side game on Vita only. And,
is it Inquisition or
fucking, something? Yeah, something like that. I fucking hate it when they do that. Because it makes me feel like I'm missing out on some of the story by not going to go out and buy a fucking Vita just to find out, you know? So, kind of irritates me. It's kind of splintering the story, the whole story, which makes me mad. But, I'm excited for it, and excited for the gameplay, so... Ian, I don't know how much of the Assassin's Creeds he's played or how much he's been into them, so...
If he's really into them, I mean, I assume it's going to be worth it for the closure, because the last one didn't leave us with enough closure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a pretty big fan. Assassin's Creed 2 has got to be one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
Just too proper. Brotherhood's pretty good, but it's not the same caliber as 2. Yeah. 2 was a tour of Europe through the eyes of an assassin, and that was fucking amazing game.
Yeah. Well, it's like with part one, you had the horseback where you could, you actually traveled and went to, which they took out in part two and three, sorry, part two in Brotherhood, they didn't, and in Revelations, you didn't
have two, you had the horse, you rode
did
the
you
horse.
Have horseback? Okay,
it was
Brotherhood and Revelations they took it out of.
Yeah, because and you can, I want to say, you don't really do any horseback riding in Revelations, do you?
No, there's none at all. So there's carriage, but you're not. That's like a full cinematic scene, and you also do a carriage like race, where you're trying to get away, or no, you're trying to catch up to somebody to kill them, and you're in a carriage, which is kind of cool. It was a more cinematic experience than it was actually driving. For me, Revelations, I didn't mind. I always just say it's because it's a bridge game. It was trying to cram as much story into and bring in some characters and some history to bridge between where they're going to go. It's kind of like how Resident Evil 6 was. Yeah, they're trying to bridge as much shit into the next chapter where they're gonna go. So
I think the thing I'm more excited about, and this would be straight to Ian's question, is this is the original dev team from 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And that makes me more excited, because the other was, basically Assassin's Creed B team doing Revelations and Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And not that Brotherhood was a bad game, because I actually did like Brotherhood.
It was a great
well.
Game. The story was fucking fantastic. Was that the one with the was that with the Borgias?
Yeah,
the Vatican. Yeah, that was a fucking excellent story and excellent gameplay, and it was like scaling the fucking tower and shit. That was fucking awesome. They did a really good job on that.
Yeah, Brotherhood came in fairly, to me, that was a much better game than Revelations. Revelations was kind of a letdown for me.
No, so I'm picking up on PC when I pick
up. I'm going to actually pick this one up on Xbox. The reason is I want to play the multiplayer with some people.
Yeah.
So I'll probably be picking it up opening day.
See, I'm picking it up on Steam because I have every other one on Steam. I have all of them on Steam. I don't have any of them for Xbox. I used to have some of them, but I got rid of them because I just enjoyed playing them on Steam more. So, definitely something to look forward to. Did you say anything else in his email?
No, that was it.
All right. Now, let's take a look here. We've had some throughouts for Gauntlet. We had Halo Reach brought up. We had Gears of War 3. Left 4 Dead. All those wonderful, wonderful titles. Trying to think. I'll leave this up to you, because I'm going to be website building Saturday. So I would strongly urge for a Gears of War 3.
Well, I'd like to play with Nymph, though, as well. And I haven't played with Nymph in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Looking. I'm going to go with... I'm going to do Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. I haven't done that in a long ass time.
Yeah, I think they brought out that new DLC pack since you guys have done it. So and I'll be website building, so I really won't get a chance to join in. Because I daddy wants to make 40 some odd grand a year. So, with benefits. So I'll be busy doing that. So you heard it there, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer this Saturday at 10 p.m. Central on Xbox. You can find Justin under Nostalgia. The website has his gamertag listed.
As of right now, probably the only one.
Yeah, Holly might be on there, but you can find her name on the website like a lady if she is joining in. So,
One other thing that I just looked up, texting back and forth here while we've been talking about it, Dragon Age 3 had an announcement for the title.
Oh, really?
Inquisition.
Huh.
Kind of be interesting.
Are they going to continue to follow...
There's been some promise in the past about changing up the layout so there's a lot more area to explore than there was in the last game.
Yeah, the last game, I mean, I love Dragon Age 2 over Dragon Age 1 just because the combat system was really fucking
fluid. I liked the combat better. Yeah, I didn't like the exploration any better.
Yeah, the exploration felt really like a letdown because it was like the same goddamn dungeon every time, just repeated with either this door is blocked off. And even when that door is blocked off that way, you could see where the doorway was that led that way. They just put a rock in front of
it. It felt very modular.
Yeah, it was very modular, and it's just kind of a pain in the ass. And
the story on it, though, was excellent. Yeah. And they promised they're not going to do the modular environments like they did last time. They also said they're going to let you have greater control of your inventory and be able to customize your companion characters a lot more.
Okay, but that was my question initially was, are they going to try and delve away from the story of Hawk, or are they going to stick with Hawk?
No, I mean, everyone has been a different story, just the tie-in being Morgan from both games.
Yeah.
So, with Morgan being kind of gone from the story, I think they're probably just going to reuse the world and maybe pick up from somebody else.
Nice.
But Dragon Age is probably one of my favorite games, or favorite franchises. I like it better than a lot of things.
That's Bethesda, and they do...
That's Bioware.
Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry. It's Bioware and Mass Effect, sorry. And they do a good job with their...
story.
Yeah, with their stuff. So, I just tired, so I said Bethesda. By the way, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, I liked Hawk as a character, and that's why I was wondering if they were going to... I'd like to see somebody new, but I'm very interested to see the humor, if they keep... because Dragon Age 2 is fucking a hilarious fucking game. It was very serious and very funny at times, so it'll be interesting to see how they do the writing on it and everything else. So...
Pretty excited about that. Hopefully between now and next week, one of us will pick up Mark of the Ninja, which is one of the ones I'm talking about picking up, or, like, I'm trying to decide right now, do I need to pick up Of Orcs and Men, Doom 3 BFG Edition, or Mark of the Ninja? Mm. Whatever you guys want to hear about out of those three games, I'm going to pick up one of them tomorrow. So if you find me on Facebook or email me, go ahead and do that, because I need something to review for next week, and I want to figure out what it's going to be. We also might have some pre-release looks at some other things next week or the week after.
Yep.
So, that being said, there's not a whole lot new coming out. Angry Birds in Space coming out on PC. Who gives a shit? Assassin's Creed 3 comes out on October 29th.
And you can't trash Angry Birds.
It's alright. But it's a time-wasting game.
I know, it's a million-dollar time-wasting game.
Halo 4 comes out on November 5th.
Yeah.
And Rayman Origins comes out on 3DS.
A lot of people are looking forward to that.
Yeah, Rayman Origins I've heard good things about. Zone of the Enders HD Collection coming out on PS3 on October 29th.
Yeah, that actually is kind of interesting.
And then the one you're talking about for Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation on Vita.
Yeah, that's it.
And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I think that one actually follows a female character, if I recall. I tried to not read too much about it because I don't want to give away too much to myself about the main game. So, but anyways, those are the upcoming games. Our question for next week.
It's going to be what, Trent?
Well, let me think here. Now, we've got two franchises. We got Assassin's Creed and we got Hitman. Both coming up with stellar titles coming out. You know, Assassin's Creed 3, they're going back to the numbers.
You got two stealth games coming up, essentially.
Yeah basically. And one's Eidos, one's Ubi. So, here's the question is, you know, which are you more excited for? I mean, I love Assassin's Creed is very great, but I love Hitman.
I haven't played a good Hitman game in so long.
Yeah, even Blood Money was a little...
Blood Money came out so many years ago. Yeah. It's like 07?
Yeah.
Maybe 06?
Maybe.
I mean, that's an old-ass game. Yeah. For that to come back, I'm actually probably with you, I'm not sure what you're going to say with this, but I'm actually more excited about Hitman than I am Assassin's Creed.
I love Assassin's Creed. What I was going to say is I love Assassin's Creed, and I'm glad they're going back to the original story. Well, not even the original story. They're branching off, but they're actually taking it somewhere new rather than revisiting Ezio and all that shit. And or Altair.
It's a new period piece. A
whole new period, whole new setting, whole new everything, which is going to be great. But Hitman, since Hitman, you know, codename 47 has been like one of my... there were so many people that when Hitman came out, I was like, dude, you need to play... People who didn't play games. I was like, you need to check this out. And I installed it on their computer. Like, my friend Jody, I got her into Hitman. You know, she never played a fucking game in her life. It was just that great of a fucking game. And they've always been fun. It's just fun to...
Which one was the one where you start off and you can enter the mansion as the milkman?
That is Hitman 2 Silent Assassin. It's where you're going off to assassinate the dude. You can see him on the balcony off in the distance. And you can enter as a dude delivering flowers to pay his respects. You can enter as a delivery man. Or you can just sneak in, take out one of the guards that are walking around, and take his uniform and just walk into the house, which is a little bit more dangerous. Usually the delivery man's the best.
Or you can snipe him from...
From way away, yeah. Which is kind of a... If you're not going for silent assassin, if you're not going for silent assassin, that's definitely not the way. If you're going for just let's get this fucker killed, but you also have to rescue somebody from downstairs in that mission, if I recall, and that kind of throws that thing completely into shit. So, but either way, I'm really looking forward to Hitman.
Yeah, too.
It's one of my favorite games. You know,
it was probably the best stealth assassination game ever made when it came out.
Yeah,
still is playable. On PC, still really good.
Yeah, I have all of them on PC.
I replayed it last year. Yeah, replayed Blood Money.
Yeah, and then I bought it for Xbox. Yeah, because you were gonna get rid of it. And I was like, dude, I'll fucking take it. Yeah, it's a good fucking game, and definitely looking forward to it. Plus, the new engine they're using. I think they said they can have up to 10,000 characters on screen at a time.
Yeah,
that's a lot. They show some screenshots of what it looks like, and I think he's at. It looks almost like he's in Rome. And he's near St. Whatever's Circle. I can't remember St. Peter's Circle, whatever. And there's just fucking thousands of people just walking around. And he's just sitting there. I was like, holy shit, that is a lot of fucking activity. And he's like, find your target. I'm like, fuck that, dude. What the fuck? Yeah, and I was like, I can't wait to actually just get down into the crowd and walk around with that and just see how it plays out. Like, tracking somebody through that many people is just going to be amazing. And Assassin's Creed has its merits. It's a great game, but you know what? Hitman was the start of the whole silent assassin. You know,
there's been games before. I can't name them specifically, but Hitman was the one that was cut above everything when it first came out.
That and Splinter Cell is another one. I love Splinter Cell. Even the last one, Conviction, which was a little short.
I want to see that new one that's coming out.
Oh yeah, that looks amazing with the combo streaks.
Yeah,
that just looked fucking so impressive at E3. I was like, holy fuck! And definitely the year for silent assassin games with Assassin's Creed and all that. So which one are you guys looking forward to between those two? I know a lot of the old school gamers might go towards Hitman. Or they want new blood, and they're going to go for Assassin's Creed.
I'll pick them both up, but I'm a little more excited about Hitman.
Yeah, it's not about which one you're going to get. It's about which one are you fucking, like, bonering for. So, yeah.
Alright, so we'll leave it for that, and then we'll do shoutouts.
Yeah.
Shoutouts, we got carouselpodcast.com. We have elseworldspodcast.com. We have For the Love of Gaming. We also have bmfcast.com along with noquarters.net. And tvgp.tv, they do good things. So find us on facebook.com/tiltcast, like us, comment, and then we throw special shit on there all the time.
Yep.
Also, find us at twitter.com/tiltcast. Holly posts on there. Email us at teabag@tiltcast.com, and also find us on iTunes and Stitcher if you search Tiltcast. Also, rate and review us on those.
And YouTube.
And YouTube at The Real Tiltcast.
Yep.
Anyways, that's pretty much the end of the show with just me and Trent. So we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye. I gotta take a shit. Do not put that on there.